I want to bring you a message this morning. Just turn to the book of Romans. Let's see, chapter number five would be good for you to turn there. This morning, I just want to look real quickly at four C's of salvation. I just want to give you just a quick, simple salvation message. My father-in-law is a deacon. He's been a deacon in a Baptist church for probably over 40 years. And he said one time, we hear these good messages and these deep messages, but he said every once in a while, I just like to hear a good, simple message on salvation. I think that's good. We need that. The Bible says and instructs us to preach the whole counsel of God. Amen. Don't get hung up on one thing. That Bible's full of things. That Bible's full of instruction and exhortation, things about salvation. Well, we know a diamond has four C's. I don't really know what they are. A couple of them is clarity and cut. But I know this, salvation is a diamond. The Bible says that all the things that you can desire cannot be compared to wisdom, and that wisdom will lead you to salvation. What a blessing it is to be saved. The diamonds stacked up in the world, the rubies and all the treasures of this world, cannot compare this morning to being saved and to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Romans 5:12 says this. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Let's pray. Father, this morning, I pray you take these few words and that you'd speak to our hearts how good it is that we gather together in fellowship and hear the Word of God and read the Word of God and that we can open our hearts and enjoy the love of God this morning and the love of Christ and the love for others. And Father, I pray that you'd bless each one, bless each home, bless us as we leave this place to go out and enjoy the day, realizing that our freedom has been bought this day by our veterans and by the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray you bless the message now. Speak to every heart in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The Bible says here that by one man sin entered into the world. That one man that brought sin into the world was the man Adam. Adam brought sin into the world when he disobeyed God in the garden. You know, I think it's funny, and we'll note this before we go on, that Adam and Eve were both sinners in the garden. They both disobeyed God, but God here places most of the responsibility for that sin upon Adam. He does. So men, be careful. In your home, as the leader of your home, God places most of the responsibility upon you as the head of that home. He really does. And we find that is true from Genesis to Revelation. That's not taking something out of context. That is just absolutely true. And so by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men for all of sin. Now, the first thing we note here is that sin is universal. You can go to Japan, and you may not understand what they're saying, but they're still sinners. You can go to Canada and Russia and Mexico, South America, and you'll find that people all over this world are sinners. And the Bible says the four C's of salvation, the first one is that this is the condemnation of Scriptures. The condemnation of Scriptures. The Bible says that all have sinned. We are all. It doesn't matter if you're in Canada or Mexico or wherever. You came from Adam. You didn't evolve from a monkey somewhere. You look at me and probably think I did. But you didn't. We all came. We all have one common ancestor. And that common ancestor was Adam. And when he sinned, it caused blood poison, so to speak. And he passed it on to every single one of us. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Case closed, shut the book. God says that's just the way it is, and it is. And so death passed unto all men, and sin causes death. Now look down at Romans 5:16. Here's a little bit of brightness here and hope. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. Talking about something else, the gift of salvation. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Adam's sin, watch this, Adam's sin brought condemnation. Condemnation brings judgment, and judgment brings death. That's just the way it is. That's God condemned sin. He judged sin, and he told Adam, he said, in the day that you sin, in the day that you break my law, in the day that you break my ordinances, you're going to die, Adam. It ain't like Adam did it and didn't know what was going to happen. He knew exactly when he sinned against God. God said, in the day you eat, you're going to die. And so he ate, and in that same year, or in that same, Bible says a thousand years is a day, and a day is a thousand years. And that same day, basically, in God's eyes, he died. He died spiritually, and before the thousand years was up, he died physically. So, because of sin, because of God's judgment and condemnation on sin, we're all going to die. But here it says in the last verse we read that because that the free gift, which is salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, is of many offenses unto justification. That is, I'm different than Adam. Adam sinned once. Now watch this carefully. Adam sinned once, God condemned him, judged him, and he brought death. I have sinned many, many, many times. Amen. Don't look at me funny. You have too. You're welcome. All have sinned. All of us. And because I've sinned many, many, many times. Watch it. Where was 16? And not as by one that sinned, so as a free gift. For the judgment was by one unto condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses. Do you see that? The free gift of salvation is of many offenses unto justification. Now, here's what that means. That means that Adam sinned once, got sentenced to death. I have sinned many, many, many times, but if I'll come to God's remedy for sin, if I'll come to Christ and confess and forsake my sin, then guess what? I get justified. And that justification is a process where God declares me righteous. Guess what? Look up here at me. I'm still a sinner. I'm still a sinner. Sin dwells in my body. It dwells in my mind. I don't like it. I'd like to do away with it. But the only way that it can be dealt with in this life and in this body and in this world is to come to Christ and have the Spirit of God, feed the Spirit of God through the Word of God. And it helps me to defeat sin in my life. So Adam brought judgment, condemnation, and death. Christ brings a freedom from guilt, freedom from condemnation, and freedom from death. Yes, sir. I may die physically, but I'll never die spiritually. What a blessing. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So if I know Christ, death's lost its sting. The body will go down, the spirit will go up. Same instant, hey, God's pulled the stinger right out of death. What a blessing to know Christ. Now, the Bible says we're talking about the condemnation of Scripture. The Bible says in Galatians 3:22 that the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. It's concluded us all under sin. We might as well just be honest about it. We'll look at that later as we go through the message. We might as well just be honest and face up, folks. We're not perfect. The man you're listening to is not perfect. I've been made perfect inside, but boy, there's a lot wrong with this old flesh. Yes, sir. It's blemished. It's sinful. And so it goes against the plan of God at times. And the Bible says, now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world become guilty before God. Adam sinned and passed that sin to the whole world. And the Bible says the Scripture has concluded all under sin and all guilty before God. You can argue with the Scripture. And that's why many people this morning hate the Word of God. They don't want to hear it preached. They don't want to hear it read. They want to change it. They want to water it down. But listen, friend, the Scripture has concluded. Man will just try to justify himself, but Job said, if I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. So there's the first sea of salvation. The first sea of salvation is, if you take notes, write this down. The first sea of salvation is the condemnation of the Scriptures. The condemnation of the Scriptures. And then second of all, there's the conviction of the Spirit. The conviction of the Spirit. Do you know that we all have a conscience? Did you know that's what sets you apart from an animal? In the animal world, it's survival of the fittest. They go out, they hunt, they kill, they eat. There's no morals. But what sets you apart this morning is a conscience. The Spirit of God then works with the Scriptures. Always remember that. The Spirit of God always works with the Scriptures. I hear people say, well, the Spirit led me to do this, or the Spirit led me to do that. The Spirit of God will never lead you or tell you to do anything contrary to the Scriptures. Amen. Amen. And so, the Spirit of God works with the Scriptures and convicts our conscience that we are guilty before Almighty God. Now, I can smile about that because I thank God for that. Yes, sir. Some people just cringe at that, to look at the Scriptures and the Spirit starts dealing with them and showing them their guilt. And they begin to cringe and deny and justify themselves. But what a blessing it is just to come clean with God. What a blessing. And so the Spirit gives us a God conscious, the consciousness, the Spirit of God convicts our conscience that we're guilty before God. It's just like the Lord Jesus Christ. When they brought this woman convicted, or they sentenced her, or they caught her, I guess the Pharisees did, in the very act of adultery. And they bring her before the Lord Jesus Christ, and they said, this woman is guilty of adultery. We caught her in the very act. Now, I'm not going to go there because I'm going to try to make the message nice. But I might split that wide open in one of these future messages. But the Bible says this woman was taken in adultery in the very act, and Jesus got down and wrote on the ground and stood up and he said, well, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And the Bible said, then they all went out from the eldest to the least, being convicted by their own conscience. Are you with me? That didn't say they were convicted by the Spirit of God. It said they were convicted by their own conscience. And so the Bible says they went out and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. There's conviction this morning. And the conviction of the Spirit works with our conscience and convicts us that we are a sinner. Conviction means to be pronounced guilty. Listen, the jury and the judge has already went out. You and I are guilty before Almighty God. I remember when I was under conviction, I was a 9-year-old boy. And man, Mom would take me to church. And the preacher, boy, he was one of them hell, fire, and brimstone Baptist preachers. I remember he had a gold tooth, and we'd preach that gold tooth and shine. Kylie, remind me. Well, never mind. But boy, when he preached, I knew that the Spirit of God was real. I knew that the Scriptures came alive, and I'd get under conviction. And I'm telling you the truth. We'd get in the car to go to church, and the Spirit of God was so real that I'd get under conviction and begin to weep in the car before I'd get to church. Mama said, what's wrong, son? Now, she could have probably led me to the Lord in the car, but she wanted me to get saved in church under a fiery preacher. And I praise God for that. And guess what happened? I hated it. I hated that. I hated going to church. I didn't want that conviction. How many of y'all understand what I'm talking about? I didn't want that conviction. I hated that. To be guilty and to know I was going to hell. And that old feeling, that old consciousness, that God consciousness that I was condemned. Boy, oh boy. But guess what? One day, I said, I've had enough of this. The preacher kept telling me there was a remedy for it, that Christ died, that he'd save me, that he'd hold his arms out like this. I said, Christ died to save you. Come to Christ, be forgiven. And I knew that's what I needed to do. And finally, I said, man, I'm so tired of this conviction, I'll do anything. What a blessing it was to go to Christ and have that lifted. immediately the guilt's gone, the shame's gone, the conviction's gone. The fear of hell is gone. The fear of condemnation is gone. The fear of judgment's gone. The fear of death is gone. Praise God. It's a blessing to be saved. So, second C is the conviction of the Spirit. The third C is confession of the soul. The Bible says, and it shall be, this is Leviticus 5:5, that when he shall be guilty in one of these things, that he shall confess that he has sinned in that thing. Now, you know what? That's an Old Testament scripture. And the Bible says in the Old Testament is when you figure out that you're guilty under the scripture, the best thing to do is confess it. Shake your head with me. Y'all are guilty of sin too. Amen. I say that smiling because I know you. I know people. We're all guilty. And the Bible says the best thing to do when you figure out that you're guilty under the scriptures, when you're guilty by the Spirit, the best thing to do is just be honest with God. Now, God isn't any different than a parent. The Old Testament made provision through the blood, not the blood of Christ. We know if you're familiar with scriptures, you know the blood had to be shed of an animal, a lamb or a goat or a bullock or a turtle dove. The blood was already, it's always been, man confesses his sin and he gets his sin under the blood, which the blood of the Old Testament sacrifice was foreshadowing the blood of Christ, and faith. So man believes it, he confesses, he gets under the blood, and he's washed from his sin. And that's a blessing. Now, God has always just wanted us to be honest. That's all he asks. God says, when you read in the scriptures, or you hear from the scriptures that all have sinned, when the Spirit convicts you and says all have sinned, God said, just be honest about it and confess it. Now, as a parent, isn't it a blessing? I mean, when your children do wrong, and you know they've done wrong, they've done something against the right, and they're going, I didn't do that, Daddy. Oh, your kids don't say that. I didn't do that, Daddy. And you could tell by the look on their face, they did it. As a parent, what do you want them to do? Be honest. Be honest so you can take them out, break off a switch, and just wear them out. Not necessarily. Now, that sometimes there's a time and a place for that, amen? Yes, sir. But sometimes you just want them to be honest and face it that they're guilty, they made a mistake, and you'd like to help them, right? I mean, that's how we get help. We understand where we made the mistake. Somebody helps us and shows us that this is what you did, this is probably why you did it, but here's a way to keep from doing that again. That's good parenting. And so God is a good parent. He says to all of us, from the greatest to the least, from the preacher to the pew, you've sinned. Efface your sin, confess your sin, be honest about it. You won't have to go to the woodshed, maybe. Just be honest about it, and I'll send you some help. But the Bible says that the man that will not confess his sin, let me see if I can find that scripture. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. He that covereth his sin, I didn't do that. Not me, Lord. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Just be honest about it. Just be transparent about it. Don't you like to see, we see so much, let me say what I was going to say. Don't you like to see transparency in somebody? Somebody who just who they are. They're not putting on the dog. They're not trying to be something they ain't. They're just transparent. God likes to see us open and honest and transparent. And that's what he'll bless. But if we begin to darken the windows in, I mean, just close all the curtains and get inside and go, I didn't do that. Not me, Lord. Not guilty. God said, you won't prosper. Amen. Now let's read where I had us to turn. Let's see. Just turn, flip quickly, please, to Romans 10, 9 and 10. Every one of you should be able to quote this verse. And you ought to be trained. You ought to memorize this verse. That if thou shalt confess, Romans 10, 9 and 10, watch this. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Two times in two verses, the Bible says that if we'll confess, God will save us, God will fix our problems, and he'll do it all. Aren't you glad for that? The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Now, last point, we're done. Well, we're going to be out of here quick. Aren't you glad that when the Bible points out that we're sinners, condemns us, convicts us, says confess it, that when we do, there's a cleansing. There's a cleansing of the Son of God. I'm grateful for that. The Bible just don't say, it's like me going up to Jackie and say, Jackie, you're dirty, buddy. I mean, you've been in the coal mines or whatever, and you're black. I mean, that's just conviction. That's just condemnation. If I say, hey, buddy, man, how'd you get dirty? Come on in here. There's my shower. I'm offering a remedy. You know, and the Bible gives us two parts. Yes, we're guilty, but there's a way to get rid of that. Amen. There's a way to be clean. So thank God for the other side, for the cleansing, and for the redemption, for the salvation. Because the Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. The Bible shows us the problem, but offers us the solution. It shows us our sin, but offers us a way to be washed from it. And there's another reason that people hate the Word of God. They don't want to be saved. They don't want to be condemned, convicted, but they sure don't want to be clean in Christ. And Jesus said, the light's come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Isn't that strange? Isn't that strange that men would rather be dirty? I don't mean to pick you out. Isn't that strange that men, women, boys and girls would rather be dirty and sin and wallow in their guilt and shame than be clean? I don't know about you, but yesterday, after working on that patio, I was sweaty and stinky and smelly, and I couldn't wait to have a good shower. That's like salvation. Sin stinks. We stink in the nostrils of God, and he wants to wash us up. And he offers us the shower, the soap, and he'll do the washing. You just got to stand there and be clean. Christ has already done it all. And so the Bible says that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. David said, and I'm through. David said, wash me, and I shall be clean. Cleanse me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Are you saved this morning? Do you know Christ is your Savior? Or are you still a sinner? You see, it's just as simple as this. Salvation is simple. It's believing, confessing, and then receiving the gift of God, which is Christ Jesus. It's believing, repenting, confessing, and being washed from our sin. Are you saved this morning? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Nobody looking around. First one here this morning that doesn't know Christ, well, sit just quickly, slip up your hand, say, George, I really don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm still in my sin. And boy, I just like to be honest. Anybody at all, just be honest. I've been honest with you. I told you I was a sinner. I'll admit it. I'll admit it now, and I'll admit it 5 minutes from now. George, I'm still a sinner, and I need to be saved. Would you pray for me? Just slip up your hand, take it down. Anybody at all, as we wait just a moment. God bless you. Nobody raised their hand. That's fine. But I'm sure in a crowd of this size, somebody might not be saved. So it's always best to ask. But this morning, if you've not been saved, if you've not trusted Christ, maybe you're a little ashamed this morning to come in front of people. If you just meet me at the door, I'll be shaking hands. Tell me you'd like to be saved. Tell me you'd like to confess and forsake your sin and receive Christ as your Savior. I'll be there. I'll be there with the Bible and the Word of God and help you as we're dismissed.